Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is part two of A Valentine's Day Massacre. If you have not listened to part one yet, go ahead and take a break. Go do that, and then come right on back. Carmen and I are here, and we will wait for you. Congratulations, you've listened to part one. Now you're ready. Now you're caught up. So sorry that we ranted so much. I'm not sorry. Not in the correct headspace. We also just took like a 25-minute break where all we did was fucking talk shit again. So
so hopefully a little bit of it is out of our system.
Great. But we are going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
I love watching the spikes on the sound thingy.
When yeah, right.
It's just like nothing. So good. Okay. There are 200.
Men. Oh, two what?
Men.
Two men. Emil and the husband?
No. Well, the Emil, yes.
Oh, Frankie.
No, and I'm looking at this and I'm actually not sure who this man is now.
Is it like a reporter guy?
Yeah.
Is it a reporter?
No, it's one of the trustees.
Do we actually see this guy?
Mm-hmm.
We do?
Yeah, not for like long though. Just like, you know, one of those throwaways.
A flash when Derek walks out in his jacket. Oh, you know what? At the dinner, is it at the end when they're at the breakfast? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Let's start with the throwaway guy, and then we'll end with Emil because then we probably should start with talking about Emil because this is a great storyline.
Heartbreak. Okay. Fred Ox plays Mr. Kaplan, one episode of Scandal. And then Brian George, who plays Emil, is in one episode of Private Practice that you have not seen yet.
Ah, yes.
It is in the future times.
Also, Mr. Kaplan is in The Blacklist, which
I was just thinking about.
I need to watch a more recent
season on Netflix. So
have 10 fucking seasons of that
I've
show.
I've watched 9 seasons, so I need to watch season 10. But I also have to watch the second season of The Bear, so that's my priority.
I need to watch the new episode of Masters of the Air tonight. That show is fucking good.
You need to go to bed.
I'll sleep when I'm dead, which will be probably soon, depending on how often I sleep.
So this week, Michael turned 35. And
shout out!
Last week at some point, we were talking about his birthday, and he was like, yeah, I don't think I'm having like a quarter life crisis or anything. And I was like, oh, hold the phone.
Spoken by someone who's clearly about to announce.
Do you think you're going to live? If you think 35 is your quarter life crisis.
Well, clearly he plans to live to 140.
Like, I was like, let's math it out. How long do you think you're going to live? Do you think you're going to live to be 140? And he was like, I think I'll be at least live to 110. And I was like, that sounds awful to me.
Did you tell him he needs to make minor adjustments to his diet prior to that?
Aren't you tired? I'm tired now. I go 110. Are you fucking kidding me? And then I said, I go
minimum. So 75 more years of this.
Oh my God. And it just keeps becoming more and more hellish. For fuck's sake. It was 70 degrees when I woke up on February 23rd. All right. 70 degrees at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And you want to live 75. We're going to be on fire. It's February. So then I said, well, how long do you want to live? And he said, well, I want to be immortal. And I'm like, why would anyone want to be immortal?
Honestly, though, I'm tracking with him on this because podcast burp, immortality, you can always end it. There's always you just kill yourself if you're like, I've had enough.
But if you want to be immortal, then you don't want to die. So you wouldn't want to do that.
No. Any mortal wants to be immortal, but immortal, it's like the end of The Good Place. Oh, spoiler alert. Have you seen The Good Place?
Okay. We talked about this like two episodes ago.
You've seen The Good Place?
Yes.
Okay. So spoiler alert about The Good Place. It's like at the end, they clearly, you know, Phoebe Buffay loves being
she does not Kant. Love it.
And then she says, I want the afterlife to end. You know, eventually immortals get tired of it.
It's just, I'm just tired, you know, tired. That's how I feel.
Tired. Yeah. I got you. I get it.
I just don't want to be immortal unless everything becomes excellent really quickly. And it's not trending that way. So,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the people in charge, but they fucking suck.
Yeah, I was reading an article. I've been reading a lot of articles about this particular election cycle, which, by the way, go Michigan. Man, the Michigan Democrats really fucking that's some cool shit they did. Have you read about that? The protest they did? Mm-hmm. Whew, man, love it. So, they're breaking the record for the oldest running presidential candidates of all time, but they're breaking their own fucking record from 4 years ago.
Yeah. This is a fucking joke.
But Mitch McConnell's stepping down. But like
he's not retiring.
Yes.
He's just not going to be a majority leader.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to go be annoying over there instead of over here.
Yeah. Then that put me down a rabbit hole of reading all about the shit that he's done. And I hate
politics. Have you seen any of the Kate Middleton conspiracy theories?
No.
That needs to be your next rabbit hole. So
I need you to send me some starting points.
They released a statement a couple months ago that she was having abdominal surgery.
No.
It was like a routine abdominal surgery. Well, she hasn't been seen in 2 months. So now there's all these conspiracy theories that she's missing and that the palace is just trying to hide, cover it up.
Oh, or that
it's insane.
He killed her.
It's insane. Like there's literally so many theories. It's absolutely wild.
Dang. Is Rachel Zane safe?
Is that
the princess? Meghan Markle?
Well, they're not technically royals anymore. They've absconded their royal titles because I don't know if you're aware of this, but the royal family is kind of shitty, especially you're not a white person.
Do you think that he tried to kill her? We're back to the current, not Harry, William. Do you think William tried to kill Kate after he found out that his dad is dying of cancer so he can be free and like easy, like Playboy King? Like, do you think that's his plan?
No, but there was one of the theories is that Kate Middleton donated either her kidney or liver to Charles. And I'm like, that motherfucker's going to die regardless. Like, why would she give him an organ?
Yeah.
He is three days away from death's doorstep.
Talking about feeling obligation to family.
Like, he is a strong cold away from being 6 feet under.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Let's talk and then about the, a meal. Yeah. Speaking of, I could go for a meal right now. I'm starving.
I'm not. I had two pieces of pizza and then a brownie and ice cream before we recorded. So I am nice and full.
I cannot wait until sushi.
Ugh.
I'm counting down the seconds. Ask me how many seconds is this?
How
it
many?
Is until 4,314,006.
Six.
And counting. How many seconds is a million seconds? Fuck. That might not be accurate. How many? Okay, tell us about a meal.
So Emil is the head waiter at the restaurant where the roof collapsed. He has been the head waiter for like 20 years or some shit. And Miss Banks and her husband have been coming there for their entire relationship, both before and after marriage. So they used to come in. Well, she used to come in, sorry, by herself. And she tried everything on the menu. And once she had tried the whole menu, Emil like went to the chef and was like, create new things, like be creative, give her new things to enjoy.
Wait, did you already tell us? I'm so sorry. I just blacked out here. Did you tell us about Emil's character, Living in Shawnaland character person?
I just said he was in private practice.
You did. You're right. I'm
that
sorry.
We haven't seen yet.
You did. Yeah. Okay. I legit it's my brain. Yeah. Okay. Go on.
So then, she meets Bob, her husband, and she brings him there and he likes it. And now they don't talk at all. And now he orders for her and Emil's like, they hate each other and he has ruined her life. And I love her and I just want to be with her. And her husband's in surgery this whole time. He wants to be next to her. He says this entire speech about how much he loves her right next to her. She's quote unquote asleep. Obviously she's awake because of drama. And this entire time, Meredith and Alex have like money on whether or not they're going to confess love to each other and like run away together.
It's the same $50 that Emil gave to Alex to tip him, to
yeah,
move him,
to
next,
put
to
him
her
next to her.
And
he's like,
bed.
Okay.
He's like, oh, can I go over there? And Alex is like, it doesn't work like that. And he's like, oh, yeah, my bad. I'm a waiter. I should know this.
Here's
a 50.
Here's $50 casually. So. What, who did you think was going to live and who did you think was going to die from this story between the three of them, the husband, Emil, and Mrs. Banks?
I thought both the dudes were going to die.
I remembered both of the dudes dying. I remembered it that they both died. So I was wrong. Obviously, that's not what happens. Only Emil dies, which really comes out of nowhere. At what point did you think something was wrong with Emil, or were you just like,
well, I didn't think anything was wrong with Emil until Alex drops the 50 out of his clipboard
and sees
picks
him
it. He goes to pick up the 50 with his entire body to the ground, as opposed to leaning over with the pincer grasp that children learn very early on, which is what you do when you drop one singular item off the floor. He goes into a push-up formation and sees Emil seizing underneath. And how the nurse orderly guy didn't think, I should go look around.
Also,
the other side of the bed.
Glass.
Yeah.
And so how did you not see him? No one saw him seizing.
No one saw this guy. And anyways, so
why
he
isn't
sees
he hooked it. Up to anything?
Nothing. Nothing. Not an IV. The guy should. If you have a building fall on you, you deserve at least minimum an IV and a pulse.
An oxygen monitor.
Yeah. Something. Something.
Also, I had my blood pressure taken today. Do you know what blood pressure is supposed to be?
120 over 300.
120 over 80. Do you know what mine was?
120 over gallery 81.
Yes.
No. Nice.
Yes.
I'm nervous about my blood pressure.
Wow, that's incredible. And I was like, honestly, one thing about me, my blood pressure is almost always going to be perfect. When I am in labor, my blood pressure is alarmingly high, but almost every other time, 120 over 80.
Like, I feel like
three
points
either way.
I need to get a physical. I need
to
just have a doctor.
Yeah, that's why I went to the doctor, because I need a PCP.
Yeah, I also need a PCP.
Yeah, so that's
because I'm on PCP.
Yeah. I wonder what this would be like if you were on drugs. This is us not on drugs, you guys.
This is us. Well, should we try drugs when you're visiting?
Should we do drugs?
Should we record it?
Should we
monetize it?
I just want to do hood rat shit with my friends.
Without the burden of children.
For legal reasons, this is a joke.
Yes, obviously. We would never do illegal things, and we would also never involve our children. Yeah, I wink. Yeah, so I didn't think anything was wrong with Emil. I knew, I was like, okay, he's talking very loudly. If this woman was not up, or if this woman actually was asleep, she's not asleep anymore.
Yeah.
But I just think it's funny that Alex and Meredith, their weird, dark relationship, they were like betting on this shit. Like, oh, he's going to say something. Oh, she's going to say something back. So it is a very, very sad story, which ultimately Mrs. Banks, what's her first name in this?
I don't think we ever are told.
Whatever it is, this lady basically tells Meredith, she's like, I understand where he's coming from and I understand that's what he's thinking, but sometimes it's okay to just not have to speak. And yeah. Also, we go there because it became our place. And Emil never said anything.
Yeah.
I made a choice and I make that choice daily. And that's what marriage is.
That actually is what marriage is.
Yes.
Making a choice to yeah. be in love with your spouse. Because like,
so
realistically, I feel like almost any person can go out, if they are married, into the world, whether it be the physical world or the internet world, and find someone to cheat with pretty quickly. It's just, you just decide not to do that.
Yeah, you make the choice not to.
You just say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to fall in love with anyone else.
Yeah.
Like, it pisses me off when people are like, oh, you can't help who you fall in love with. You can. So.
Yeah.
Don't fall in love with someone if you, because if you're married, you're not looking for someone to fall in love with. You shouldn't be in the mindset to go out in the world and fall in love with a different person.
You shouldn't.
My opinion.
Correct. Yeah. That's why I had such a hard time with feeling bad at all for Addison in some of those storylines in Private Practice, like especially that one with that one dude.
And the baby, the wife and the baby.
Yeah.
Noah.
Yeah. Yeah. Noah. Yeah. I just, man, Addison, I love you, but I do not fucking feel bad for you at all.
Yeah.
So during all of these kind of storylines with Mrs. Banks, Mr. Banks, and Emil, there's this kind of walker, okay, again, because Alex and Meredith are involved with these patients, there's this ongoing thing with April, and April, which is frustrating. I didn't realize that her and Meredith never spoke. Mm-hmm. When she walks up and she says, oh, Mrs. Shepherd. And I'm like, she's a fucking doctor. When you get married, you don't get demoted.
Yeah.
That would be Dr. Shepherd, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really annoying to me.
I mean, I know multiple females
who got married after they graduated with their doctorate and they don't even change the last name because they're like, this is what I graduated as. Like, this is who, like, and I'm like, do whatever you want is how I feel, honestly. But like, that's so much work to get a doctorate in anything. Like, I would be like, everyone should address me as that. Children, you're no longer calling me mom. You're calling me doctor.
Doctor mom.
Doctor mom.
Yeah. Like, also, I mean, when Jess was at Disney, she had changed her name legally, but she never changed any of her stuff on the Disney stuff. I'm like, that's fine. Also, we'll circle back to Derek and Meredith. It frustrated me because April kept like popping up in my notes around them because of their conversations. So with Emil, the scene where Mrs. Banks goes, it looks like she's going to kind of lean over and they're sitting there eating the half eaten heart chocolate box that Alex stole from a coma patient.
Yeah.
She looks like also, they're like, they're all half eaten.
Who fucking sends chocolate to a coma patient but doesn't go visit?
I was
like,
also wondering
that.
Yeah. And then when Christina's like, oh, they're all half eaten. And Alex is like, you're fucking welcome. You know what's inside of them.
I've done a gift. I've done a public service for you.
I eat the whole thing, and if it's terrible, I just spit it out. I don't have to dip my toe into those chocolates.
I'll like jam my nail into the bottom. But smart. Most of them have the maps now, which I appreciate.
Yeah. Or they're color coordinated, like in the they're in the purple quadrant, they're caramel filled. If they're in the brown quadrant, then they are cherry.
I hate the chocolate with the cherry in the middle. Like, that's disgusting to me. Chocolate covered cherries are also gross.
Anyways, that is a terrible take. She starts to not be able to breathe, and they have to rush her into surgery. And it was moments after that is when he sees that Emil's seizing and they need brain surgery. Also, did you feel at all initially that it was fucked up that the lady kept going back knowing that Emil was going to be there? And like, she kind of had this sense that, I kind of had a sense of like how he felt, but I kept going back there. I don't give a fuck.
Well, initially, before she meets Bob, no, because she's going hoping that that he's going to say something. She wanted him to say something. She was like open to the possibility. She's like, he did, but she shouldn't have to live her life differently because someone chooses not to voice their feelings.
No, for sure.
So then she's like, well, this is my favorite restaurant, Bob. Robert, let's go have a meal here. And he's like, oh, this is a really good restaurant. I also love it. And I love that you love it. So let us continue to go there. And I know what you like, so I will order for you. Although I will say, I think ordering for another person is bizarre. Unless, like, if we went somewhere and I had never been and you had been, I would let you order for me because I would, like, trust that you, like, know the menu and you, like, know that I'm also a big foodie, right? Yeah. Or vice versa. Yeah, yeah. Which, side note, I had the best meal of my life on Saturday at that Greek
Chicago
restaurant.
Deep dish pizza?
Oh, my God.
Greek?
Amazing. Yes.
What was it?
I don't know. It's not a menu. This man lives here. He moved over from Greece and he opened this restaurant, and they're only open like a couple nights a week. And it's he just makes you whatever. And you just like eat. It was four courses. So it was like a salad appetizer, then a chicken dish, then a lamb dish, then a dessert. And then stacks of plates for you to smash.
We need to go when we're in town.
But it was not cheap. We'll talk about it.
Okay. All right.
Anyways, food is good. But I do think ordering for people can sometimes be weird.
Yes. Yeah. But it also can be cute and productive in the situation of which that you just described.
Yeah. But it's weird. Like, if we were going to the same place every week and you were ordering for me,
that's weird.
That is weird. Like, it's weird if you're just ordering for someone to prevent them from speaking. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Obviously, we don't, like, see Mr. Banks interact with his wife ever, but she speaks fondly of him. And she's like, I love him. I want to go there. He loves it. We love it together. It's our place. All this stuff.
We don't know Mr. Banks, but we do need to save him.
So true. So, yeah, it's... I don't think it's weird because it's not like she was taking Bob there to flaunt him in front of Emil. I don't think she was going. I don't think it's wrong because there was no like malicious intent behind it. And at some point, she can just say, if he's not going to say anything, or he never said anything, you know, at some point she could go, maybe this was all in my head. I'm just going to keep going to this restaurant because I like it and there's good service and I know this man and he's kind. Like, I don't think it's weird for her to continue to go back because Emil isn't clear about his emotions.
Yeah. It was when he was giving the speech and he was like, I fucking put the ring in the creme brulee. Like, I loved this woman and I put the ring in the creme brulee. It's sad. Also, this is like very TV movie trope. Mm-hmm. Just tell people how you fucking feel. And I know that's easier said than done.
Sitting on it for like a couple weeks, couple months, 15 years, 20 years. That's too long.
That's a lifetime. You've wasted a lifetime. Did Emil never get married?
Yeah,
she lives
alone.
Yes.
She continues to live her life.
Yeah. And maybe my problem is the opposite. I let everyone know everything that I feel every second of every day. So maybe there's some middle ground.
Maybe it could be something in between the two.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's just sad. Like, I don't know. Like, why would you want to hold yourself back? Like, even if you tell someone how you feel and they don't feel the same way, at least now you know. And you can, they're not the only person in the world. You can find someone else.
Yeah. But it's ultimately, it's a sad ending for Emil. He had this brain bleed and they're doing the surgeries back to back. So Bailey, which is her surgery with Mr. Banks, is very kind of emotional yet comedic because it involves Arizona and this anesthesiologist that I forget his name. But we're panning back and forth to all of a sudden he's got a ton of blood in there. He has to lose his spleen. Emil's going through the surgery. Derek is like, don't fucking do this. Don't you die, you stupid motherfucker. Like, let's go. And ultimately Emil
dies.
And Derek is there and he's like, Alex, Alex is very harsh. He's like, he's better off. He is in love with a woman who is married and he'll never live with her. He's, you know, better off, which is harsh, sad, true, harsh. But in the process, Derek is like, no, it wasn't. There's nothing you could have done. You would not have found this until it was too late. And this is where we're at.
Yeah.
So those things suck when it doesn't show on the scans. There's no way you could have caught it until the person is physically dying.
Yeah.
That shit sucks.
Yeah, that's
rough. April takes it hard. And Derek is like, good.
Well, April's already in a bad spot because April is having a rough go. Back. Because she was like, I didn't know if I could come back because I killed the person last time I was here. And she's like, and then of course that's her first surgery back and the patient dies. And she's like, I can't do this. And Derek says, you know,
what was her thing? What was the patient that dies?
Remember when the fire happened and they was like, it was super
chaotic. Oh, she didn't check the throat.
The airway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Medicine 101.
Yeah. Always check the throat. Yeah. That was sad. But during all of this stuff, there's like this metaphor that's being played around between the April and Derek thing. There's the Meredith and Derek thing about the breakfast and she doesn't want to just be arm candy for Derek and her making all of the choices and blah, blah, blah to be with him. It's kind of an interesting story and it's an interesting metaphor. Well, other than the Emil story, is there anything else you want to say of that? Or do you want to talk about that storyline for a second?
Well, before Mrs. Banks like stopped being able to breathe, what do you think she was going to say when she was like trying to turn to him?
Oh yeah. Good. I'm like going too fast ahead. I think that she was going to be like, hey, like I heard you. I love you too, but also I don't love you like that.
Mm-hmm. Or I loved you, but you never said anything. And now I love Bob.
Yeah. Or maybe she says nothing and just checks on him.
Yeah, Mia, how are you doing? You good? Yeah. I was definitely asleep earlier.
Did you happen to say anything while I was asleep earlier? Like, did you need me for anything?
Here's
$50. Yeah. Okay.
Great. Thanks. Good tip.
The way that she was leaning over, though, I don't know. It looked weird.
Yeah.
Maybe she was going to say nothing. She was trying to tell him, Emil, I can't breathe.
Emil, the chest. Emil, call the nurse.
Oh, goodness.
It's weird in every hospital show that all of the walls are glass. I find it weird.
I mean, I've been to a lot of hospitals where they have glass walls.
That's weird.
I've also been to a lot of hospitals where they have white walls and wood floors.
Okay. Oh, or have you been in the rooms where it's all padded?
No, that was like a gallery. Gallery 81 reference. Right. Megan, ask Megan. Megan would know.
I'm telling you that you should be in solitary confinement.
Yes. I would be terrible in solitary confinement.
You would make a lot of friends. Because you need to talk a lot and you would just make up people to talk to.
Yeah. Man, that's one of the reasons I don't break any laws is I would not do well in jail because in jail I would end up doing something that would get me in solitary confinement or butt raped. So,
okay. Trigger warning.
I don't want either of those.
Okay. Let's talk about Yeah. So are we done with April? Are we not April? Are we done with Emil?
Yeah.
And then, well, then we, well, Miss Banks, Alex tells her and she cries.
Yeah. And it's, she has to go through that journey by herself because she cannot tell Bob.
Yeah. And Bob's probably going to wake up any second and be like, oh, were you crying because you missed me so much? Cause I was asleep.
That was funny.
Thank you. I'm very funny. I'm a funny person.
You are a funny person. Well, no, now I do.
Funny, but I'm a very funny.
I was today years old when I found out that you're a funny person.
So weird.
I would not have done a podcast with you twice.
I know.
If you weren't funny.
Okay. So let's talk about April.
Yes.
Just add on to it. She says, like, she doesn't know if she, first of all, she's being very administrative with Derek. And she finally says, like, people keep saying, aren't you a surgeon? Do you want to be a doctor? Like, what are you doing? And then she finally says, like, I don't know if I can do it again the way I left. Derek takes her to the surgery with Emil. Emil dies. She cries. She says, I can't just watch people die. I shouldn't have come back. And Derek says, I made a mistake last year. If you'll do you recall? Do you recall the mistake?
It was one that involved a brain.
Jen.
When he nicked something, right?
The pregnant lady.
Yeah, he nicked it, and then he was trying to do like a... He was trying to remove all of her lobes.
Let me just take the lobe.
Let me just leave. I'm going to leave. Occipital. He said, let me just leave the fucking brain stem. That's all she really needs.
Yeah, there was some arguing. It was dramatic. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I made a mistake last year. Crazy. I almost walked away. If you don't feel the losses, if they don't hurt you and humble you, that's when you know you're not cut out for this kind of work. You can be a good surgeon. That's why I brought you back. So important to note that she goes through that journey in this episode.
Yes. Also important to note, if Derek needs an administrative assistant, couldn't he just hire her for that? Like, does if she's
Where's
doing a good
Patricia?
Job. Well, she was with Weber.
I miss her.
Where is Olivia? Olivia could also do this role.
Olivia was not invited back.
Not yet. Even that should be when Weber comes back. He's going to say, I'm sorry that two chiefs have now not brought you back. Me, previous me.
Past
that,
me.
That was the Derek. Old me.
But current me.
The old Weber can't come to the phone right now because he's dead. Because
he's calling Olivia.
He's calling Olivia. Then no, that's new Weber. New Weber. Oh man, how dope would it be if what's her name in human real life?
Carrie Washington.
Carrie Washington makes an appearance as Olivia Pope in
She's
Grey's
so
Anatomy.
Talented.
It's true.
Okay.
Most famous for her role in Psych for two episodes.
Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we'll refocus. And talk about this show. And we are back. And now we're going to talk about Grey's Anatomy. We're going to discuss Teddy and Owen.
Yes.
There's and not that, a lot should of
we,
this.
Should we... Do you don't want to talk about Derek and Meredith right now? Because we're still talking about
We can
Derek.
Talk about Derek and Meredith.
I just want to say, at the end, she looked really, really good.
She's very pretty.
She is pretty. And I love that they had her.
It's always fun to see them outside of Scrubs because we don't get to see it very often. Versus I was thinking on Private Practice, they don't wear Scrubs that often on that show. So there's actually like they and there are some moments where I'm like, this is so early 2000s. Like you can I'm like, OK.
Yeah.
Statement necklace.
I have a statement necklace every day.
OK.
I like that she kind of went through this journey and.
It's obviously mirrored.
Yeah,
with the whole Miss Banks being like, it's sometimes it's nice to be in silence. I choose him. I love him. He did this and I want to make him happy. So I did this. There's obviously a fine line with that because you still want to like maintain your own personage in a relationship.
Totally.
But like Meredith wants to support Derek. But here's my thing. I totally understand the choice she made in the end to go. First of all, it benefits her two favorite people because Christina gets to do the valve and she gets to be there for Derek. So like the two people she cares the most about in the world benefit from her making this decision. The scene I thought was weird was the scene prior where Derek was like, goes to her and says, there's this breakfast tomorrow. And Meredith says, yeah, I know about the breakfast because some resident I don't know is rooting around in our closet. And like, I can't be going, like, that's not what I signed up for. I'm a surgeon and I can't give up a surgery. And Derek says, yeah, I wouldn't want you to give up a surgery. But then she keeps going with it. And then he just like stands there. It just feels weird to me. And I don't know how it's meant to be read as a scene, if that makes sense.
Well, what was weird about it to you? Because I actually felt like Derek was being understanding in that moment.
I thought he was too, but then it like went like on too long. And then I was like, that's where I thought it was weird.
Oh,
well, let me find it. Because
yeah, it definitely felt, because it he did not know she had a surgery. They hadn't been communicating.
Yeah,
and she didn't even know she had her own surgery until she turned it down with Teddy. When she's like, scrub
well,
yeah, it. And she's
well,
like,
and
actually.
He goes to her and says, there's this breakfast. And April's already like getting the clothes. So that's also like, I agree. The communication has fallen through the cracks. Obviously, there's like chaos with the whole restaurant thing, but. He says, there's this breakfast. And she says, I know about the breakfast because some resident that I don't know is rooting through my closet. Derek, sorry, she's overeager. Meredith says, I have surgery and I can't give up a surgery. And Derek says, no, I wouldn't want you to. And then Meredith says, I mean, just to smile and stand at a podium for the suits. It's and Derek says, no, you shouldn't come. But then she just keeps going. And she goes, my patient, she's somebody's wife too, and I'm her doctor. And Derek's like, okay. And Meredith says, okay. It just like lingers too long. And when he initially says, I wouldn't want you to, I wish it would have ended there. Because then it's like, they're like, he's being supportive of her. He's not asking her to choose him over a surgery. Like, he's not asking her to do this stupid, like, you know, administrative thing that he is because he took this job. Doesn't really mean that she took this job, whatever. So I think it should have ended there. That scene, that's why I thought that scene was weird, because at first I'm like, like Derek's being like, he's just telling her like, there's a breakfast, but I understand if you can't come. But then it just keeps going. And then like, he makes a weird face when he's like, you shouldn't come. And she's like, my patient, somebody's wife. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And they just do that. And I'm like, how am I supposed to read it? Because I
hold on
was
though. I
confused.
I will say I feel like there have been times even in my marriage where I tell Jess, like, if she's fired up about something, I'm like, okay, I mean, just, you know, like, I'm good. I understand where you're coming from. And then she's still fired up. That takes that time where there's a delay between the descending and like the calming down. And I think that's just what was happening. I think in this scene, I agree with you. It should have ended with I mean, I don't want you to miss a surgery. You're good. Because he says it calm. He doesn't say it with like ulterior motives, which we have seen in the past. We've seen Derek say something kind of shitty and passive aggressive.
Yeah.
When he's like, all right, well, then don't fucking go then. But he really wants you to go.
Fine, do your surgery. Like, if he had done that, obviously, like, that would be shitty. I think it's very clear in the beginning that he's like, I don't want you, like, I'm telling you there's this breakfast. You can't do it. I understand. I'm not upset.
Yeah.
But then... the second time when he says you shouldn't come, the delivery on it is like kind of disappointed, which I would understand being disappointed, but I wouldn't understand that he had this expectation that she would be able to go when they have talked about it none clearly at all.
Right.
And also there's like everything's like burning down around them. So clearly doctors need to be here. Like, I wouldn't understand why he would be why would he expect that she would be able, not even that she wouldn't want to go, but that she would be able to go. So that was kind of confusing. And again, that's kind of like, I don't know how it was written, if it was written that they wanted him to deliver it that way. Because after the first delivery, I'm like, why wouldn't you be like, no,
good.
You
it
shouldn't
resolved.
Come versus no, you shouldn't come. You know, when someone says something because they know it's the right thing to say, but they clearly don't mean it.
Oh, it's fine.
It's like, oh, what's wrong? Nothing. Okay, well, something's wrong.
Yeah.
So, I do understand what you're saying, though, when like someone's just like ranting and they need to just like keep getting it all out. I totally understand where you're coming from with that. However, I just felt like the initial delivery he gives is so clear, and then it just kind of peters off. And then when they're both just saying OK and like kind of staring at each other, it just feels less clear than it did at the beginning of the scene, which is where I take the issue. And I don't even think I would say I take the issue with Derek, because I think the scene is just like confusing.
Yeah. But the moral of the story is she goes.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that she really takes to heart what Miss Banks says about, like, she's choosing. She makes a choice every day. And Meredith still did get to do surgery. She still did get to care for a patient. She just also was able to go and support Derek. She obviously wouldn't have gone if no one else was there to scrub in and this patient was just going to die. But, like, that wasn't the situation. There's obviously other doctors who can take care of these people, and she can be there for Derek in this, like, transition period. However, that sign is fucking shitty.
Yeah. There also, here's my big beef with all of this. It goes back to number one, April. Don't refer to a doctor by Mrs. or Mr. Thing number one. Thing number two, Derek had to have had someone close to the situation had to know that this is not, like, there need to be a proofreading that happened going into this, approval of the itinerary, or what's that called,
the signage, the
stationery, whatever it is. And what did it say? Mr. and Mrs. Dr. Derek
and Mrs. Shepherd.
Yeah.
Dr. and Mrs. Derek Shepherd.
That's what it was.
Oh, also her, like, ranting about it in the backseat is so funny. And then she's like, yeah, you're going to have to make this up to me with a lot of sex. Yes, dear.
I wish that every time I pissed off Jessica, she's like, you owe me sex for this. I would make her mad every single day.
You would be living your life identically.
I can't say that I disagree with that. It would just end up with, no, I would do different things. Not very different.
Not much. Wait, what was I going to say? Something else about Derek and Meredith.
She looked great in the gray.
She did look beautiful in that like sweater dress.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Gray is her color.
Meredith Gray.
I don't think I have anything else with their particular storyline, so we can move on to Teddy and Owen, but let me just do a quick double check here.
Oh, I remember.
Yes.
There was a quote I was going to say that was, when she's talking to Alex earlier and he goes, you're just saying that because you think you're married.
Oh yeah.
I knew you'd love that.
I did love that. I got to tell you, when she kept having, like, these doubts or, like, things are pissing her off, I was like, this is going to be her out. She's going to take it. She's not actually married. They're trying to harp on it for us specifically as foreshadowing. They did not.
You'd love it. Okay. Teddy and Owen are still not really talking to each other. And then they're scrubbing in for a surgery. And she just goes in and starts word vomiting everything that is happening in her life to him. And he's like, what the fuck is your point? She's like, I've got a house and it's like there's a deer in the woods. And then I wanted a dog, but I got a fish instead. And I got a bikini wax. And he's like, can I help you with something? And she says that they were best friends and they used to tell each other everything. And now they don't talk at all. And she misses that. And he's like, well, I feel like I'm cheating on Christina when I talk to you. So I can't talk to you, but also I miss my best friend too. And then she just leaves.
Hold on. There's more to that.
I don't think so.
It's a very good summary.
Okay.
There's one specific part that I want to tackle because it actually honestly was a little bit of a dagger. It hit me in my heart when she's like, you chose blah, 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 blah. And you chose Christina blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you chose her too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is true. When she was drunk and she told Owen about the way that Christina was, like, trying to do the trade. She was also choosing to teach Christina and accept that trade. And it's a very interesting way to phrase that. And he's not wrong. And it's so interesting because he was betrayed by both of these women in very different ways. Mm-hmm. But he is hate fucking Christina with love. And he's totally shutting out Teddy. Mm-hmm. And it is, it does suck. They have, that's a weird end scene, by the way. It's very interesting and aggressive and kind of sweet. But I feel bad. And it's true because he really was, if you think about it, the two most important women in his life, both kind of fucked up. And he's kind of sitting in the crosshair and he's like, I just need to piece together whatever I can.
Yeah.
And make it work. So... Do you have the dialogue for her end scene?
Yeah. Sorry, I was reading her bikini wax.
That so Owen and Christina waxing are, in general.
I cannot express to you how much I would love to see your face if you got a bikini wax. You guys, Carmen is so bad at pain.
Yeah, it would be like the scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin, but worse.
So funny. Okay, so they're Owen and Christina are leaving, and Teddy comes over, and Teddy asks if they have a minute, and Christina's like, "Oh, I'll wait in the car," and Teddy's like, "No, stay, it's fine. I said I love you."
Which makes me like, when she says that, I'm like, "Oh, it's not going to be important. It's probably going to be like a whatever conversation." She's like, "No, you can listen to this. This is totally fine." Remember that time that I poured my guts out to you and I said I love you and I was
honestly, I kind of love it because if you're Christina, you're going to kind of be like, tell me what you talked about and then just take the other person's word for it. But are you going to be wondering if anything else was said right now?
Yeah.
She's like, no secrets. This is where I'm standing. This is my stance now. So she says, I said I love you and it's out there and I know I can't unring that bell, but I'm unringing it. I take it back. And Christina says, I'm going to go. no, stay. I miss my friend, Owen. More than anything, I miss my friend. The rest I can deal with. I can deal with it. I have a job that I love and I have an amazing student to teach. And I have got a cottage with deer and a fish and various waxed body parts. I'm going to be fine. You and I are going to be friends and you're doing a valve replacement with me in 10. And then Christina, she's like, go prep him. So well, and I then do like
Hunt
that.
Hunt says you can't unring the bell, and she's like, "Yeah, you're right.
I'm gonna
but
try.
Like, I'm gonna fucking try like hell." And I respect that, and it's so true. You can't once a person knows how you feel, you can't just like be like, "Ah, it's fine," but you kind of can.
Yeah, in a way, you can.
You can move on.
You can. You can do your best to move forward. Yeah. So I mean, the last scene is kind of weird, but I also appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cause also I love that she says I have an amazing student to teach and she wants Christina to hear that. She's like, I know that you're amazing and like, I'm happy to be your teacher. So,
but also I need my best friend back,
but also I do love the person that you're fucking. So
yeah,
no worries though. I'm going to take it back.
Yeah. She's like, I'm ready to play the long game. Sorry, did that come out of my mouth? Is that what I said? I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say, I love my best friend. So, no, I like it. I like Teddy. I like Teddy. I want her to be happy. I also want Christina to be happy. And I also want Owen to be happy. Everyone deserves to be happy. And if it involves consensual sex, then so be it. Sock it to me. So very happy for her. I like it. Trying to think if there's anything else specifically.
Bailey.
Bailey and Arizona. The opening scene when he's flirting with her and the look on Arizona's face was like, ooh, 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 I love this. And it's so cute.
First of all, Callie and Arizona gave each other matching necklaces for Valentine's Day, which is adorable.
Yes.
So then Bailey's like, Valentine's Day is not real and it's stupid and I don't give a shit about this holiday. And then,
Arizona calls her a Scrooge and she's like, well, that's Christmas and that's a real holiday.
So his name is Dr. Warren. He was like, oh, I'm so sad that we won't get to scrub in with each other anymore. And she's like, it's fine. Don't ever talk to me ever or look at me in the world. And Arizona and Callie get in the elevator with her and they're like, ooh. she likes him. And they giggle and it's like so funny. His little schoolgirl giggles like, hee hee hee, they have a crush on each other. You think he's cute? And Bailey's like, I don't like what's happening. And if it wasn't happening, I'd be happier as a person. So then Arizona is like, I'm on it. So she goes to Derek and she says, sign this so I can have the anesthesiologist on the surgery with Bailey that I want. And he's like, I don't think I should interfere with Bailey's life anymore. And she's like, no, no, you just do your chief things. I'll do the rest.
I'll do the Cupid things, chief.
And then she goes into the surgery and she will not shut up. And it's funny, but also inappropriate, but mostly funny.
Well, it's also hilarious because she's speaking in metaphors and she's yes. not being discreet. Subtle. She's like, man, you know, this was Dr. Warren. Isn't this so crazy? Like Bailey almost did peds, but it took a lot of like persuasion and she had to really like think multiple times on how she wanted to stick with general surgery. And she just needs to be asked again. Multiple. Yeah.
And then she changed her mind. Yeah. She reconsidered.
Yeah. And he's getting it. He's like, oh yeah, totally. I'm vibing. And then at the end when she's like, yeah, like it's so crazy. This guy is going to get to dance again. And Bailey's like, well, hold on, bitch.
Because he's not going to be dancing for a long time.
And if he wants to dance, it's going to be his choice.
Yeah.
When he's ready to dance, he can dance.
And he wants to go out dancing, he'll be perfectly capable of making that determination himself without any help from anyone. And I don't need any help here. So if you are done helping me, you can go.
And that's when he leans over and he's like, for the record, I wasn't talking about dancing. Breaking the fourth wall of the metaphor, man.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Wait. Yeah. So earlier when one of the other times when Arizona is talking about that, Bailey says, isn't there a dying child somewhere?
She's like, no, I'm good. I wanted to watch you do the whatever this great. Is.
Yeah. I wanted to watch one of these. And it's just like a man fully stabbed in the abdomen with glass. You know, the casual times that these are happening.
Also, I forgot that it was Mrs. Banks' husband until the very end.
Yeah.
So.
They're a dying child somewhere. Okay, so then after the surgery, Dr. Warren comes up to Bailey and says something like, he starts to talk to her and she's like, don't. And he's like, I'm sorry, I just thought. And she's like, I can't talk to you. And he's like, okay, so sorry. And she's like, no, like I physically can't talk to you because my brain stops working because you're so attractive and I am stupid when you're here. You make me nervous and I forget how my words are. And I am just, so maybe one time dinner and I'll try and have words. And he says, how's tomorrow night? And she says, I might have surgery. And he's like, I might join you.
Yeah, I like that doesn't she say tomorrow works, but I might have surgery, something like that?
He says, how's tomorrow night? And she says, fine, I might have surgery. And he says, well, I might join you.
Yeah. What I like about her being involved with the doctor is they're going to get the schedule in a way that Tuck never did.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And Bailey deserves that.
Yes, because she's also saving lives on a regular basis.
Yeah. Also, will her dad be disappointed if she remarries? Like, I don't even know what that man
freaking cares.
Yeah.
Can't be living your life just to not disappoint other people. If you're saving lives and making yourself happy, who cares?
I actually attempt to disappoint as many lives as I can with every choice that I make.
Amazing.
Thank you. But that disappoints me now that you're complimenting me. So now I'm disappointed.
Podcast burp.
So I think that's all the notes that I have. There was one other thing I wanted to say. I do like the scene where Mark and Derek are in that lobby and he's just watching the surgery and he's like, blah, blah, blah. I haven't had surgery in a week. I'm doing all these chief things. And Mark kind of gives him the, isn't this what you always wanted kind of thing? And that to me felt sarcastic. But when
I don't think it's meant to be sarcastic.
I get where you're, I understand now what you're saying, but in that moment I was like, I felt a little pointed. That's weird. Also, Derek is clearly struggling managing the chief duties and wanting to be a surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is, yeah,
it's true. It makes sense because he's more administrative now. So,
yeah, which is not like Richard said that like multiple times.
Yeah. 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 He didn't hide it.
No. And so then Derek's like, oh, can't believe this is happening. I'm like, dude, come on.
Yeah. Well, when he was first presented right off the bat, he was like, Callie and April are coming into him and they're talking at the same time. And that's when they're like, you need to go talk to the reporters. And Callie's like, you need to go talk to a head trauma person. And Derek's like, head trauma it is.
Shocking.
Yeah. So that's, I think, all I got. Did we miss anything? I'm going to feel real bad if we missed something.
I feel like we did, but I don't remember what it is. So.
I don't think we missed anything. I think, remember that time that Callie had to break the news to Mark that his daughter is leaving?
That was so sad, though.
Yeah. You can't unring that bell. Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Okay, cool. Me too. Rate it.
This is going to be a 4.7 out of 5.
Oh, wow.
I really like this episode.
Wow. Tell me why.
So, a couple of things. Number one, Mark Sloan.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, I love Teddy in this episode really did made a lot of things for me. I like that she's like, Hunt, if I need to be the mature person here, I'm going to do it. Even if it means like suppressing all of my feelings and figuring my own shit out and putting it in a bag and getting my shit together. Fine. I love that Bailey is finally kind of getting back on that horse. And I love that we kind of saw the first interesting dynamic around Derek, him becoming a chief, how it impacts Meredith, and the Emil Mrs. Banks love story kind of thing was both heartbreaking, emotional, and sad all at the same time. Sad and like a pathetic sad, but also not like I don't want to call him pathetic. It's just it's just sad. It's a sad situation that people go through, and also Lexi kind of finding her fucking voice and being hot blonde, like cool. And then backstory with Jackson. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I really liked about this episode. There was nothing like crazy. I guess you could call someone getting an arm attached to their hip pretty crazy, but, and also just the whole pileup was, or the roof falling was very dramatic, but they made something that was dramatic feel almost not dramatic in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. They tell you this crazy thing happened, but you don't see it. So it's kind of just like, oh yeah, there's like a lot of people here, but like,
yeah.
So also, we didn't mention at the beginning that, Meredith and Derek and Owen and Christina were going to go on a double date somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't do Valentine's Day. Yeah. And then they see the ambulances go by and they're like, if it's serious, they'll page us. And then like, oh, well, they paged us.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyways, 4.7 for me. What about for you?
It's a pretty big difference. Mine's, it's like a 3.9 or a 4.
Interesting. I mean, I'm not going to shame you the way that you shame me, but
well, that's typically because you're wrong normally, but I appreciate the points. I appreciate what you liked about it. I just didn't like have as strong of it. Like I really liked the Lexi storyline. And it's also, it is nice to see that now Mark isn't being a turd and they can at least work together.
Yeah. Well, look at her. Look at how hot she is.
And then I liked the backstory with Jackson and their kind of back and forth and how he like helped her get through that. And then, you know, she's just going to keep boning Alex. And then like the Mark at the end with Callie is like so sad and Eric Dane plays it so well. But yeah, I think it's just like fine. I don't know. I do like the whole Bailey thing. I just think I liked all the same things you did. I just don't know that I liked them as much as you did.
That's fine.
I think honestly that's what it is, because I don't think there's anything that I really hated in it or didn't like. It was just like, it's fine. I'll say I'll give it a 4. It's good. It's not like a filler episode or anything, because obviously, like, bringing April back and like learning more about Jackson. So I wouldn't say it's like a skippable episode or anything. I just think like it's not a top, you know, episode for me.
That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
I'm glad you liked it so much, though.
I did. I really enjoyed it. And I sat there through like having a migraine all day while Marla was sleeping and like sitting there just watching the episode. So I did enjoy it. Anything that you need me to predict? I feel like I have a hard time thinking about predictions for this episode. What do you want me to predict?
Predict something with Teddy, Owen, and Christina.
I predict. Man, I just got this. Hunt's gonna kiss Teddy. Something is going to happen. I don't know why. When he said you can't unring that bell, something about it was like, you're opening up the floodgates for us to not be shocked when they kiss.
What about Mark and anybody?
I think Mark and Lexi are going to get back together because I want it to happen.
When do you think that'll happen? And what about Alex?
It's going to happen before the end of this season.
Okay.
Because Izzy is going to come back before the end of the season.
Okay. And
not a single appearance from Reed or Charles in this episode.
Yes, that is correct. Do you want to predict anything for Jackson?
Jackson? I think
your last prediction is still the Christina.
I think that if Hunt screws up with Christina and does something with Teddy, that's what's going to send the ripple effect that will
Jackson's
end up.
Jackson's
going to swoop. That's my official. Those predictions are joined at the hip. Okay. Owen is going to do something with Teddy, which Christina is going to find out, and she's going to do something with Jackson.
Okay. I think that's like, you already said that you think Bailey is going to sleep with Dr. Warren.
Yeah, they're going
to
bone.
Do you want to expand on that at all? Obviously, they've agreed to go to dinner.
No, I think it's just going to be dinner and smushing. And then I don't know what's going to happen after that, but I'm feeling really passionately about their genitals touching each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to make just any like, what about, do you still think Weber comes back in the season 6 finale?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Also, this is episode 14. Mm-hmm. How many episodes are in this season?
24.
Episode
24 or 22.
Episode 19. Mm-hmm. I have no context for this, but episode 19, Thatcher will be involved.
Okay.
And episode 20 or episode in the finale, Adele will also be there. Weber and Adele will be there and they will be united. They'll be back together. Weber will be healed and he will come back.
Okay. Perfect. I don't think I have anything else. Is there anything else you need to add?
I don't think so. I feel good with everything so far.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Please make sure you continue to share us. Sorry for the delay on the episode this week. We had other things going on. But we appreciate your patience and sticking it out with us. It means a lot to us that you guys like the show.
Literally. Yeah.
So, thank you so much. Just continue to share us, please, with other people and friends on social media. Tag us on Instagram when you share us. Donate blood. tell your friends, tell your family. Follow us on Instagram, email us, follow us on TikTok. All of those things are Grey's Academy Pod. And find us on Patreon at Grey's Academy Pod. And if you see Carmen walking down the street,
no spoilies. Do not spoil the show. We're having such a good time with it. So many people are joining us on this journey together with us. We're a family now, and family sticks together. And Ohana means family, and that means no spoilies. Family. Yeah. So Ohana means no spoilies. And we appreciate you all, and we will see you all in the next one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.